News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Bray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 7th of August, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'll be bringing you all kinds of interesting news. And
did you notice the calendar, I think, on our webpage? What was it, Monday or Tuesday?
Tuesday. Nick? We are 15 years old. We've been on the air for 15 years.
Were you?
Actually, officially, at this moment, it's 15 years and 4 days.
So we can still say we are the longest-running computer show.
That's exactly right. We've been doing this for 15 years. That's longer than some of our listeners have been alive. That's depressing.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me of that.
But nearly 100 years of computing experience at this table.
That's right. Betwixt and between us. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Now I am.
Thank you.
Well, what do you think?
I'm older than you. That's right. And you look every day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Nick was smart and lost his hair before it turned gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who has to climb up on the chair to put the camera up or down below to plug in the computer?
You! What, you think? I carry a cane just so other people will do stuff for me. I'm not dumb.
Than I look. I couldn't like and I'm the oldest, though.
Yeah. Well, how about that 1 week now? You think you're young enough to climb
and
on
and Steve
chair.
Is sitting there sympathizing with you. He came in with a cane 1 week.
That's right.
Weeks. Oh, hurt my back. When'd you do that? Oh, about a week back.
Week back, exactly. But
took about a week, yeah. But I got a big milestone coming up next month.
Yes, we all. Well, yeah, yours would be a milestone.
Yeah, 40.
You'll be 40. Shut up, you little puppy.
Well, I'm going to have to raise my don't trust anyone over 50 now.
Yeah.
Except you guys.
Yeah, right, thank you.
So we're all in September.
Now, what's interesting is I'm not getting anything here. That's interesting. I've got yet another different machine here, and so I'm trying to get the.
There's no light on your Elkin card there.
Why don't we have Steve go do the news while you try to get that going.
Hey, how about turning up number two, and let me see if that's the problem. Maybe two is down.
Steve, why don't you go with the news?
Before I do that, though, since Steve's got a milestone, I should mention to everybody that next month is everybody's birthday month. All three of us have birthdays in September. Rob, yours is not in September.
That's right. Mine's in January.
Yours is in January.
You should know that by now.
I do. And the show's is August. We just had that on Tuesday.
My wife has it marked down on the calendar.
Does she really?
Yep. Because I came home that one time when we knew it was your birthday, and I told her, and my wife is a stickler like that. She keeps
them on the calendar?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the grandchildren, friends, relatives, you name it.
So I don't want to tell you guys how old I was when the show first started.
Nine.
Yeah. Right.
Well, you were nine.
Yeah.
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 We hate you. You talk about the puppy of the group.
I love it. I eat it up. I got to be honest with you.
Sure. You like being young.
I do.
That's right.
What's wrong with that? I was there once, too.
Were you?
Long ago. No.
Long time ago. I remember, but.
He doesn't remember it. He remembers Dad driving the car with his feet, like the Flintstones.
Did you know the starter button used to be on the floor and you had to push it with your foot?
Starter button.
Yeah. Starter button.
The
accelerator used to be a stick on the wheel. There was some science fiction.
The shift.
Science fiction.
You have to choke. You have to put the air in all by yourself.
I had a 57 Ford, which was my very first car. I loved that car.
Mm-hmm.
It had a manual choke. Used to tick my father off because I could go out in the morning. We'd leave about the same time. And I'd pull manual choke out, hit the gas twice, and it would start right up. My father would be sitting there trying to get his car come out. He'd say, got jumper cables, and I had to go over during the winter months and jump start.
The only thing I remember is when cars didn't have power locks.
Yeah,
that's not the early. We had one vehicle without power, or no, we had a couple vehicles without power locks.
Well, that wasn't good.
That's not a good
Don't push that button again.
Yeah. But yeah, that's as far back as I remember.
There was an interesting article for a few months ago about technology, and it was an interview with this 100-and-some-year-old woman. They asked her what the greatest invention of the 20th century was. And they're thinking the airplane, the telephone, the car, you know, whatnot. And she said the mop. Because until then, you know, countless thousands of women spent countless thousands of hours on their hands and knees scrubbing floors. When someone invented the mop with a handle that you didn't have to kneel over anymore, saved everyone's knees.
Yep.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
The greatest invention in the 20th century.
Well, there's probably a whole bunch of people thinking, so
spooky. Yeah.
Which one of us wants to go first?
Go ahead, Steve.
I might as well go first. Well, first of all, we want to wish Steve Jobs a speedy recovery. He underwent cancer surgery last week.
I was going to say, I thought he stubbed his fingers on the keyboard.
No, he had cancer.
Cancer.
Pancreas.
Yeah, a very, very rare but treatable cancer. Not the more common but untreatable cancer. Yeah. So he is basically taking a month off to recuperate. So best wishes and hope for speedy recovery for him.
Now, this gives us a problem with Succession, though, now at Apple. And at Pixar, they're questioning who's next. Because so far, Steve Jobs has been the soul and heart of both of those companies.
Always the go-back to guy.
Right.
Even though when he left, he turned around and boom, they pull him right back.
Right. And while he still obviously is, because, you know, he's still fine. The reality is they're all suddenly discovering that, you know what, there's not a number two at the moment. That's kind of bad.
Well, did you see this week's Joy of Tech cartoon? Guy saying, hi, my name is Tim Cook. For the next month or so, I'll be taking over Steve Jobs' responsibility. And he's got all the different incarnations of Steve, Prince Charming of Cupertino, Tim Fried, the Vegas Ack, the iPod Devil, Timmy the Tiger.
Yeah.
So all the different faces that Jobs puts on, depending on who he's talking to.
Okay, now...
And meanwhile, at the hospital, Jobs is saying, plug in that airport and let me on.
Yeah, right. Well, he is. He's actually sending missives to the company from his hospital bed.
Yep.
So that's pretty nice.
You're never out of touch.
I got the thing working, so we now have live video, live audio stream.
Cool.
I don't know if video's working yet. We'll figure that out in a minute.
Something else to look at.
Exactly.
The other interesting things in the Mac community this week that an independent filmmaker, Helmut Kolper, released a 33-minute science fiction film called Radius on DVD this week. And it's bringing a whole new light to what independent means and the ingenuity of independence. The independent filmmaker used to mean you only had $10 million, $100 million.
Right.
Now, for $500 for the camera, $1,000 for the computer, you can be an independent film producer. And it's just amazing what you can do these days with basically off-the-shelf equipment. And the independent films are getting rave reviews. The editing tools that are now available, especially on the Mac, with an iMovie at the consumer end and Pro Tools is... by storm for audio and Final Cut for video. It's just amazing that independent filmmakers can do this type of stuff and live filming and green screen. And we had mentioned a couple weeks ago about Sky Captain and the World of Tomorrow. Originally started out as a kid on his Mac, built all the sets in the computer, did all the characters in the computer. And now the movie coming out, they shot the entire movie against blue screen. Green screen. The characters, the actors, are the only real thing in the movie. They shot every extra independently in the movie against a green screen so they can position them together and make completely different scenes that were never filmed to begin with.
Right.
So it's amazing what you can do with basically a home computer these days.
Yep. Pretty astonishing.
And who knows what the next 20 years is going to bring about.
Right. All right.
Okay, next, Bill Gates didn't take our heed. We made this announcement a number of months ago, but evidently the feds must be listening to sound bites.
Really? Some smart people are.
Well, they're taking our advice. The feds went to the recent DEFCON hackers conference, and it was more or less, meet the feds.
Woohoo!
Well, with the recent, you know, terrorism, the cyber cops have been having to, you know, focus on that. And
that computer guy they caught from Al-Qaeda?
Yep. And trying to get, you know, and it's getting them away from their routine, cyber war. So what they've done is they've more or less gone to some of these, like the DEFCON, and they're trying to recruit hackers. And again, this is something we mentioned on Soundbites some months ago, you know, Gates and that's trying to stop all this hacking and all that. We said right up front, they should hire it. Well, the feds are doing that. They're literally trying to get some of these experts and hire them to help them, you know, defend against all this hacking and cyber terrorism that's going on. What better way to do it? And then, you know, to catch a crook is to use a crook's mind to catch the thieves that you really want to get. So the feds are actively trying to sort out and find some real good folks to help them fight cyber terrorism and computer, just cyber crimes in general. So,
sounds like a good idea to me.
Yeah, they're finally listening to us.
All right. And on the other side of things, those of you who are waiting for the Windows XP update, it's supposed to be out this month. I know it was supposed to be out in June, but in fact, it's been moved back, and the theory now is it'll be out this month. TiVo users. The FCC has ruled that TiVo users can share copies of digitally recorded TV shows through the Internet with a small number of friends and family members.
Yes, that public performance clause that no one, how do you define public?
Right. Well, apparently public is fewer than 10. You can public is more than 10 because you can share up to 10 other TiVo units can share a single show. So you can record The Sopranos and I can record something else and we can share and it'll be lovely. And so you can do that now, assuming you've got the type of TiVo that lets you go to the Internet and send things back and forth. Of course, all that ends in mid-2005 when it becomes illegal to sell or distribute any product that can receive certain digital TV streams without the broadcast flag. Bluetooth phones. If you have a Bluetooth phone, we've told you about this before. If you enable Bluetooth, other people can read your data up to a mile away.
I thought it was 30 feet.
Yeah, it is 30 feet unless you've got special equipment. So up to a mile away, somebody can, it's basically like a sniper rifle thing. And so they can
highly directional antenna.
Highly directional antenna, and they grab your data. It's called blue bugging, and it'll pull everything off your phone, So if you keep your credit card numbers in your phone, or you keep any sort of private data in your phone,
nothing's private anymore.
Yep, nothing is private anymore. Those of you who actually use Microsoft Money, the glitch is finally fixed for a few days this last week.
Yeah, they had
users were inadvertently locked out of their financial data.
And being
even
charged.
Even though it was on your hard drive, you were locked out of it because Microsoft decided you couldn't
Microsoft
get
Microsoft
it.
Microsoft was charging people to try to find a solution.
Yeah.
When it was their problem.
Well, until they identified it as their problem.
Yeah, well, exactly.
It can't be our problem.
Right.
We make perfect software.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what? I'm sorry, but any program that locks me out of my data, out of their glitch, I don't want to be using it. Sorry, not me. Those of you using the PNG, the Ping Portable Network Graphics format for your pictures, be aware that there is a huge image flaw, a flaw in the thing that will let people into your machine. It's a security flaw. If you're using libpng on the Mac or on PCs or on Linux, you need to download the latest version. It really is, I have to say, it's not just Internet Explorer. It's also Opera. It's Mac browsers, Mozilla, Netscape. It's everybody because it's in the library, not in the browser. So update the library if you're using that format. And I think that's it. I think we're done. We're done with the news.
All right.
Rob, you got anything?
Kind of a slow news week.
Okay. Think we should ought to go to the phone then? He's looking at me like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You're the producer. Produce something.
He left in the middle of the news. I guess the news wasn't important to him.
I didn't leave. I'm getting things, you know.
Reading.
Prepared.
I'm getting prepared.
Show prep.
Doing stuff. All right. You're doing stuff.
I think we should go ahead and take a break first.
Think we should take a break?
Yeah.
If that makes you happy, that makes us happy. Ladies and gentlemen, just to make Rob Linton happy, we're going to take a break and bring you just a few commercial messages. We'll be back on the other side of that with your phone calls, if Rob will let us, and a whole lot of other stuff on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening to Soundbites. And Rob has generously allowed us to go to the phones now. We're going to start with David from Pennsylvania. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
The guy down up on the hill.
Greetings from Pennsylvania's beautiful Endless Mountains.
Sure.
Hey, guys, I got a tough one, and I hope you guys can help me out with this. I'm noodling around here with an old laptop, having a ball playing with it, trying to get it going. I was successful in upgrading this thing to Windows 95. It previously had been running a Windows
Woo-hoo!
3.1.
Uh-huh.
And here's my problem, though. Because of matters that I'm not asking you about that's related to batteries and so forth, I'm faced with a laptop which talks perfectly to the floppy, and where I know I have a good copy of Windows 95 on the hard drive, but it will not boot to the hard drive. So here's my question. I have the Windows 95 CD-ROM setup boot disk. I thought I could just type WIN and have, you know, once I got into the floppy, which it reads perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
That did not work. Wrong MS-DOS, it says. What is the secret when it won't boot directly into Windows 95? How do you get it to duplicate what it, you know, if it could boot directly to the hard drive, whatever file it goes to? That's what I just don't know that.
All right, you're trying to go, you said you copied all the CAB files in there to a folder on the hard drive?
No, I never said that.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
I have a perfectly good copy of Windows 95 on the hard drive. It's complete, and the only problem is I can't boot to it. If I could get into it, it would run fine.
What happens if you get to a C prompt, and you type CD space...
Can't get to a C prompt, unless I go in through the floppy.
And your floppy is apparently a different version of DOS than the hard drive has.
I don't know. It shouldn't be. It's, you know, I got them all here, and I think it's the right version of the floppy. All I need to know is, I know, like, I have an even older laptop which runs Windows 3.1, and there I have to load a floppy first, and I just type WIN, and it goes right into Windows 3.1.
Yeah, but it's got to know the path. In other words, if you're going from the floppy within that autoexec, it's got to know to go to the C drive,
right,
to the Windows folder. So the command would be, you know, in that, you know, autoexec would be CD, you know, C colon, so go to the C drive. Then in the next line would say CD space Windows, and then the next line underneath that would say Win.
And you might have to do a set path.
Yeah,
you need a path command in the.
Okay, this is what I need to know, guys. I'm not knowledgeable about this. Mm-hmm. Could you kind of elaborate on this a little?
Well, no, we can't really write the thing for you over the air like this. But if you email us at soundbites.org, we'll send you that back.
Path equals C colon /.
Yeah, I can type up a short script for you.
Yeah. But why won't it boot the hard drive? Is another.
It's a battery issue of some kind. You know, I'm powering the laptop with a docking station.
That shouldn't have anything to do with booting the hard drive.
I understand that, but there is no battery in there because I don't have one, and it doesn't like that.
Yeah, some models didn't.
That's true. All right, email us dave@soundbites.org.
Yep.
And he'll send you that.
I'll do up a script file for you.
And he'll write it up for you to put into the autoexec.
Okay, it's the autoexec.bat file.
You got it.
Yep.
Is that the file on the floppy or
floppy?
It's on your boot volume, whatever you're booting from.
Right. In this case, the floppy.
Floppy. Okay. So I need to focus on the autoexec.bat file, which is not right at the present time.
And you'll probably have to
send tell you what, if you can, from your regular email program, send that as an attachment, your autoexec file.
Okay.
So I can take a look at that, and then I'll email
it.
It's
probably
going to
need the config.sys, too, with the HiMem statement in it and the memory manager.
95 didn't really take advantage that much of it. It did 98. But, yeah, Okey I
doke.
Can do the both.
I appreciate it, guys.
Send them both. Thanks. All right, our next caller is another David, but this one from Rochester, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
congratulations, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
I've got a question about Hotmail.
Yeah.
And what happened was a friend of mine, her Hotmail, she opened it up, and about 10, 15 of her Hotmails that she had in there were gone, just mysteriously. Not everything, but they were gone.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't do anything to erase
them. Were
they
old ones?
Some were, but some were pretty current within the last month or two.
That could be. Maybe
yeah.
Hotmail. So many millions of people using Hotmail, they might have a 30-day expiration
purge, and
purge them all automatically.
They had a 30-day what now? Hotmail
purge.
Would automatically purge them?
Yeah, Hotmail, because of all the email that's being spent, you know, sent out there right now, so much junk mail and spam and everything else,
right.
Hotmail has been forced to, limit the number of days that you can keep an email around, you know, up there on their server.
Yeah, there must be something new because I got Hotmail back from June still on my Hotmail page. But like I said, not all of them. I mean, like I said, it wasn't all of the things.
But is she running? But the other thing, you know, is she running an antivirus and this, you know, the adware and the spybot?
Yes.
Okay. Because you know you got to keep up on those religiously. Because they like to attack, you know, Outlook Express and the Hotmail accounts and everything else.
Okay. Now, I also saw in today's paper that there was a piece about releasing the package 2 there for Microsoft and Windows.
Yeah, that's
in the back of the business today, so that they release it as of Friday. But I looked on I went to update today and this morning, and there was nothing there. But so.
Well, you got to be a little cautious because, as the rest of that article said, you know, and it's been noted that once you put this Service Pack 2 in, some third-party package or other software packages might not work.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'm going to be a little cautious myself.
Yeah, personally, I'm not going to be the first guy to install it.
Yeah, because...
right.
You know, start watching the message boards and that and see how other people's experiences go with these service packs, because I've already run into a couple folks that have done a couple minor patches with the Service Pack 2. They were like pre-releases, and it was their worst nightmare come true.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to keep in mind.
Yeah.
But there's the problem with the email.
Well, the other thing is Hotmail has a maximum account size of 2 megabytes.
Yeah, she was not over there, definitely.
Then I'm afraid you're going to have to call. Yeah, good luck. But you're going to have to make contact somehow with Hotmail, the folks at Hotmail, and find out if there's been a glitch of some sort, because certainly that can happen.
Right. Now, it's strange because my Hotmail, I've not experienced that problem.
Right.
It just seemed funny, strange that, you know, we share the same computer. But
well, it could have been someone sent you one big file that overcame your limit, and then Hotmail deleted stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okie doke.
All right. Well, thank you, Rush. Enjoy your program, guys, and keep up the good work, and have a good day.
Thank you. You too. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
Feisty Roslin.
I'm not feisty today.
Yeah.
I think antsy might be the word.
Oh, I'm hoping Mrs. Linton.
I'm a few hours
listening.
From vacation.
Yeah, I know. He's in vacay mode already.
Yeah.
Vacation from what?
Vacation from you clowns.
Wait a minute.
That's a vacation.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
All right. I don't want to hear about this cookie thing.
Well, we got some cookies coming.
We got cookies coming, mister.
Mrs. Linton,
yeah,
where's our cookie?
If you made cookies, he ate them all before he gave them to us.
You talk to my mother more than I do or something?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know why you don't call her more often.
Yes.
Go visit her.
All right.
If it wasn't for dirty laundry, she'd never see you.
See, we know. Like, we don't know?
Oh, I
and has anybody else
even then, she may not. It just shows up on the doorstep.
Yeah. Has anybody else noticed the Norville Rogers thing he's doing down here?
Stop.
I just figured his razor was broken.
Do you even know who Norville Rogers is?
I have no idea.
Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
I was thinking Maynard Krebs.
No. Same guy, basically.
No, I heard... No.
Matthew Lillard was on Graham Norton this week, and that was quite amusing.
Was it?
Yeah.
Norville Shaggy Rogers, that's his name.
All right.
Don't even come anywhere near me about it. For 4.5 years with my daughter every single day.
And he turned out to be a vegetarian.
He was a vegetarian. Well, that's because Casey Kasem is a vegetarian.
So all those hamburgers he was eating were actually veggie burgers.
Veggie burgers, and apparently there's no meat in the Scooby Snacks.
We're getting the snore.
All right, yeah, exactly right. Time to move on, Norville. So would you let us talk to Bobby from Rochester, New York? Welcome, Bobby. What's your question?
Just a real quick, hopefully an easy one.
Questions are always easy, Bobby. It's the answers that are hard.
I recently switched from Internet Explorer to Firefox.
Nice. Good move.
And I'm very happy with it. The only problem I have is I'm using Yahoo Mail.
Yeah.
And when I go to compose an email, I can only do the plain text. I can't display, like, the bold or the fancy colored the text and things like that. And I was wondering if there is a plugin or something like that.
A lot of the mail systems, including Yahoo, use an ActiveX control, which only works with Internet Explorer to do stuff like that. Now, that's the main reason you don't run Internet Explorer is because you don't want to run ActiveX controls. That's where half the problems come from that come through Internet Explorer.
Okay.
So you do lose a little bit of functionality, but you gain a lot of safety. And really only you can make the decision as to which is more important to you.
Okay.
You can also, by the way, simply run Internet Explorer when you want to do mail. You can have both those browsers running simultaneously. It doesn't matter.
Although that's what I've been doing. That's especially dangerous because running the mail in an Internet Explorer is what allows the problems to get in.
Right. But, you know, you're safer running it through Firefox. It's just not as cute.
Okie dokie.
Sorry.
There goes the cuteness. That's okay.
If it's a choice between safety and cute, let's pick safety.
You got it.
Our next caller is Bob on a cell phone. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Currently, I have Outlook Express for my email.
Uh-huh.
I'm not happy with it. One of the things I don't like about it is when you open it up and you have all your emails in front of you, the first one in line that's already highlighted initially, it already has opened up that email for you, which I don't really like about it.
We turn that feature off, which is something we've been...
How do you do that?
In the menu somewhere, there's a don't show the preview pane.
It's a preview pane.
But I'd get rid of Outlook Express. You're right. On the correct track anyways of not wanting that because that's how 99% of the viruses are passed is through Outlook Express.
And that preview pane.
Yep.
Right, and I don't want to be able to, you know, be vulnerable to something like that if all of a sudden when you launch Outlook Express and it's already opened up your first one, it's like, wait a minute now.
Right.
So what do I have to go through, preferences or something?
Yeah, it's somewhere in the preferences.
I think it's just in the view menu, view preview pane view layout, something like that.
Right. And I'm thinking about getting rid of this anyway, so any recommendations as far as, software, you know, for emails where it's pretty decent as far as, you know, protection against, you know, viruses and whatnot?
Netscape, Mozilla, Eudora, they're all good ones.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
And they're all free.
So you can try them all out for a while and see which one you like best.
Yeah.
All right, there we go. It's view layout is where you want to look for that. We're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, right after the news on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Hot.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
That's great.
And that's right, ladies and gentlemen, hurtling headlong into our 16th year of broadcasting. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this
is Soundbite.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've been on the air for 15 years and 4 days. And there are times I feel every minute of it. But yes, we're starting our 16th year on the air.
Pat, one of our first facts that you had on the frequently asked question list was, what's the big red button on the side for?
Yes.
No one knows what that means anymore.
No, that's true.
No, they don't have big red buttons on the side
anymore. Yeah.
Every machine had a big red button on the side. Now none of them do. We do a poll every week. Last week's poll, 336 of you voted, making it number 47 on the all-time hit list. Thank you. And the question was, is Reel's iPod hack legal? The folks at Reel broke the iPod code, and now they can run their own software on it. And the question was, is it legal? And 336 of you voted. The winner, I believe, yes. Unfortunately, I made a slight error, and all the voting choices were doubled. But if I'm adding them up correctly, led the way because you hadn't heard about it. Followed by, heck yeah, no, followed by no, wait, oh, it's a tie. Heck yeah, no way had 26% apiece. So apparently people didn't care one way or the other, so we'll stop too. This week's poll is about floppy drives, floppy disks. About 20 of you wrote to me about doing this over the last month or so, and so I didn't thank anybody, but thanks to all of you who wrote in about this one. And the question is, I still use floppies, and the choices are regularly, rarely, never, and it's all about the paper tape, baby.
Guess what I had to dig out?
I don't know.
My 5 1/4 inch floppy drive for a client to copy stuff off a 5 1/4, and now I've got it on a 3 1/2 form, and even to get even more up to date, I also burned it to a CD.
Wow, how 20th century of you.
Really, getting them out of the dark ages, but he thought he was hosed because he goes, where do you find a 5 1/4? I still got one.
Well, I still have a camera that uses floppy drives, one of the old Sony Mavicas.
Sure, we've got one at our team.
It only takes 640 by 40 pictures, but it has a 10x optical zoom.
Yeah.
I love that camera.
Yeah, it's a great camera. And this week's poll, 100 of you have voted already. So far, rarely is winning. 5 of you even know what paper tape is and are talking about it. So please vote in our poll at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Once you're done voting in the poll, below the poll you'll see a little yellow box, and in it is a link to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. And once you're on, once you're on my website, you get to leave an opinion about the poll. So far, 26 of you have left an opinion. Some of those opinions even are about the poll, I'm shocked to say. So
they always amaze me.
Please vote on our website. Once you're there, take a second to look around. There's so much cool stuff on this website. There are the forums where all the really good stuff happens. You've got some of the greatest people around on those forums, and you should get to know them. You can also find Dave's weekly tip every week, more or less.
I did 2 this week.
That's what I'm saying. And
try to get up there.
That's right. We have a calendar. We have secretly recorded calls, all started by Moody Blues 100.
Oh, that is great.
We have our movie posters, our logo saga. It's all up there, so please join us at soundbites.org for some of the very cool stuff. In the meantime, we are back to the phones, and we're going to talk to Bill from Honeyoy, New York. Is it Honeyoy or Honeyoy Falls?
No, it's Honeyoy.
Okay.
So when's the last time you used a trash 80 tape drive to help somebody?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what.
We used to write games for the TRS-80,
yeah.
But it didn't have a sound card.
Right.
You detune an AM radio next to the computer.
Down to the 900, somewhere in the 900.
It leaked so much EM that you could flash something white on screen and there was an explosion on the radio.
I used the Trash 80 with the 8 1/2.
Sure. 8-inch drives, absolutely. Yeah. What's your question, Bill?
Well, I got 2 quick ones.
Yeah?
How do I block large files, attachments? Coming through on email.
It depends.
I'm on dial-up, and it just hogs the whole system.
What email program do you use?
Right now I'm using MSN.com, so I'm not sure what they're using for.
Well, then you're looking at it in
a web browser or a specific program. like Outlook Express.
Well, I think it's, I don't know what MSN.com uses, to be honest.
Well, how do you, that's, I don't care what they're using it there on, what, how do you get to it, through a browser or through Outlook Express?
No, through a browser.
Okay, then in that case, you don't have to open those. When you go to Hotmail, you
well,
can...
Well, see, I don't, I'm not using Hotmail. I'm just using regular MSN email service.
Okay, but you do it through your browser.
Internet Explorer. Or MSN Explorer.
MSN Explorer.
The MSN Explorer may have an email client built into it.
Yeah, I think it does.
It's a browser and an email client.
Right.
Somewhere, it, well, in most email programs, yep. we don't know that one specifically. Most email programs have a preference in it. Under tools, options, settings, something like that, to skip downloads over 10K, 20K, whatever you want to set it.
I'll look in there.
So it downloads the header information, you know, the who from
right.
subject, and then you can choose if you want to download the rest of it yourself.
Right.
Right, because nowadays people aren't happy with just sending you a joke. They have to send you a six meg picture of a joke.
Well, I had a 1.2 gig try to come through yesterday.
Yeah. What you really want
to
do is...
Most email is limited to 3 or 4 meg anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You really want to write to your friends and say... Don't send me pictures.
That's been taken care of.
Okay, good.
In fact, in general, for anyone, don't send pictures to people. They probably already saw it anyway.
Well, first, they probably already saw it, and secondly, so many people are still on dial-up that it's just rude.
Yeah.
To take, you know, to suddenly, I'm sitting there waiting 2.5 hours to download a picture that I really don't care to see anyway.
Yeah.
Now, there's something called MATCLI. What is that?
We'll let you know right after this set of commercials. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
We'll answer his question.
Steve Ray, Rob Linton, Bill from Honey Oy, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's Michaels. These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. This is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Before the break, we were talking to Bill from Honey Eye, New York about MATCLI, and we found a couple of things. It appears to be a helper program that a number of other programs use.
HP.
For example, the HP Direct Support Program.
Instant support, sometimes, too.
Sometimes called instant support if you uninstall that program, no more Macly. Also, if you happen to be a certain cable or DSL providers download that program to your machine.
In essence, it's almost a spy program. It gathers your system identity and sends it up to the support people.
Yeah.
Which, it's like all the same things. It started out with good intentions, but it's getting corrupted.
Yeah, you can go
so you call HP with a problem on your printer, and you know their computer asks your computer, and your computer tells them all the stuff.
Just go into MS Config, click on the startup tab, and you'll see that service running. You can uncheck it so the next time you restart, that won't get launched.
You can also go into the add remove programs and remove the instant support options from whatever service installed it.
Yeah, so that's where you have to go, Bill. Our next caller, Jim, all the way from Syracuse, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi, how are you?
If I was any better, I'd be two people.
Holy mother of
what? Ball. Where are you in Syracuse, Jim? I have to ask.
I'm in Eastwick.
Eastwick, which is?
It's the northeast corner of the city.
Okay.
Oh, way on the other side, then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, one of my hobbies is building antennas. What can I say?
No, that's great.
Nice.
Anyhow, being the cheap tightwad that I am, I am
frugal.
Well, okay, that's a nice way of putting it. My wife says when I walk, I squeak. Anyway, I'm looking for a memory manager for Windows XP that's really good, freeware, and doesn't feel that it needs to send you a message every time it saves you 4 kilobytes of memory.
Okay, two things. First, there is no such thing. Second, just get rid of the ones you have, because, in fact, memory managers don't really work.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The basic idea is whenever you load a program, it actually takes up, it asks for more memory than it really uses.
Okay.
And the theory is these memory managers will, A, limit them to the amount of memory they need, and B, move them around so they're all packed in together so that all that extra space is available, as opposed to a little bit of space in between each one, which is useless.
Okay.
The problem is they don't really work. Basically, let's say that memory manager takes up 8K in your system.
Yeah.
Getting rid of it will save you 8K. That's the best memory management you're going to get from those programs.
How much memory do you have on this XP box right now?
Half a gig.
Go to a gig.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Whoa. You have a half a gig of RAM.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Huge graphic files?
Well, I'm addicted to Microsoft Train Simulator, and they can get pretty impressive.
Okay. All right. Now you're talking. Save yourself the money that you're spending and the aggravation that you're going through on trying to find a usable memory manager. You throw another half a gig of RAM in it. Within 6 months, you've made that up in time and aggravation,
yep.
And it'll be good for the next 5 years.
Oh, okay. Oh, by the way, I got you guys beat. I used to write programs for the Timex Sinclair.
Did you?
Yes.
How cool is that? I used to have a Jupiter Ace, which was the Sinclair, only instead of having BASIC in it,
yeah.
It had Forth.
Oh, God.
It was so cool.
That sounds like you need Thorazine for that.
And of course, the tapes lasted, what, 2-3 times before you had to redo them again?
Maybe.
Yeah.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, what great toys.
Oh, yeah.
We're actually, speaking of that, we're gonna make contact with a guy.
Yeah, I got it here in my pocket.
Douglas Simar, and he's actually looking to. We'll have an interview with him on the show sometime. But
we're
he's looking to actually start up a computer museum here in Western New York.
Hmm.
So save that Timex Sinclair.
That's long gone. I still got my Commodore 64 though.
There you go.
Where's the disk drives?
With the
Whoa.
Distance. Very nice. Maybe we'll actually get it up in the museum. You can put a little plaque with your name on it.
You never know.
Yeah.
Well, I got a weather program that I wrote for that's really accurate. So
is that one of the ones that says stick a rock outside?
No. Okay. This one here actually gives you a forecasted highs, lows, how much rain, all that stuff.
Cool.
You might want to contact the Weather Channel. They might want to buy it.
No kidding.
I wrote an article for Astronomy Magazine, and I averaged over a 6 month period. I averaged about 80% accuracy with it.
Nice.
Cool.
So I was within 5 or 6 degrees of the daily high and low. So.
Right. Very cool.
All right with me.
It works for you.
That's right.
So that's as accurate as they are. You notice they don't give a weather anymore. They give you a range.
Yeah.
I mean, a temperature.
Yeah.
It's never going to be 82 tomorrow. It's going to be 78 to 85.
And they always have that, within 5 degrees.
Yeah. That's well, it's like Syracuse during the wintertime. You'll get somewhere between a trace and 6 foot of snow.
Yeah. And, of course, in Rochester, when they say 40% chance of rain, that means it's going to rain 40% of the day.
That's right.
All right, Jim. Thanks a lot.
All right. You guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye. Keep smiling. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Dennis. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Hopefully two quick questions with two quick answers. I'm running an older version of Thunderbird, and I downloaded the newest version that's available, but I'm afraid to install it because the instructions say that I must install the present version of Thunderbird. So I don't want to lose all my email and all that sort of stuff. So what do you think about that?
What version are you running?
I don't have the computer turned on right now, but it was one of the first versions of Thunderbird that came out. It's definitely a different version than what I downloaded.
Yeah, if you haven't lately, all the versions have been able to upgrade each other. So, for example, if you had an 8.5 and you wanted 9.2, you'd be fine. But if you're down in the 6s or 5s, they had a different format back there.
Yeah, I'm quite sure I'm down in the 6s or 5s.
The theory is it will work for you because it'll come up and say, oh, you have a very old version. Do you want to import?
Well, it does say that I must uninstall the previous version of Thunderbird. So if I uninstall it, am I going to be uninstalling all my email things too?
Theoretically, no.
Okay.
Because all of the mail is saved
elsewhere.
Okay.
But what you might want to do, just to be on the safe side, is to back up back up your application and data directory. Underneath that, you'll see it probably says either Thunderbird or Phoenix. I'm not sure which it'll say. And then the actual Thunderbird directory itself. Back them both up.
Yeah,
stick them in another folder.
You see emails and all that under the users.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, under application and data under your
users. Yeah.
I know where to find the folder, all the folders, so that's not a
problem. Just back them up.
Okay, next, one other quick question is, you guys have talked about being able to install XP over XP. Well, I've got Windows 98 SE, and I thought I heard Dave say last week that you could install SE over SE. But
yeah, no problem.
That's a definite?
Yes, I do it all. I've done it hundreds of times.
You just have to be sure and read every message prompt completely. Because one of them might say, I see you already have a Windows directory. I'm going to install this in this new Windows directory.
Yeah, just make sure it defaults to the same folder.
Yeah, you want to put it into the same Windows folder so it overwrites your current copy.
Okay, it's not going to say repair. It's still going to say install.
Right. No, it just does a reinstall. You'll get one screen that says, wait a minute, it's already there's already a directory, and the button's usually highlighted, C:\Windows. You want to make sure that's the only critical one. The rest of stuff, you just go next.
It usually suggests Windows.000 as your new directory.
You can select that and just erase the zeros and the dots and then say okay, and it puts it right in the Windows folder.
Okay, great. That's
matter of fact, I just did it 2 days ago.
Okay, super. I'm all set then.
All right.
Thank you.
As long as you're all set, we're all set. Thanks, Dennis. Our next caller, Charlie from Perry, New York. Welcome, Charlie. What's your question?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Really love your program and appreciate your programs.
Thank you.
Been to your website many times. I've got a problem that just started recently. I've got AT&T, WorldNet, and FrontierNet. And whenever I try to reply or compose a message, I get a little 1x1-inch box with a big red X on it, and I get the doink sound. Now, this just started recently. I hadn't had that problem before. And the only thing I can think of is that I try to keep, virus scan up to date and also the updates as far as MS.
All right, you've got AT&T, WorldNet, and what else?
FrontierNet.
And this is when you try to do what?
When I try to reply to a message or when I try to compose a message. I get a big red X across it. It goes doink.
And you can't answer at all?
No, not really. I've tried to answer some messages, and now I'm running dial-up, but I'm running at about 49 or 50.
Charlie, did you change, because you're on FrontierNet.
Yep.
Did you go in and change your SMTP to FrontierNet.net?
Yeah, you can only send a message through the service you're actually connected to.
Right.
And they changed that just a couple months ago. That before, you know, I was using Net Access, both my settings for POP and SMTP,
right,
like the outgoing and incoming for you other folks, services were set to like mail.netact.net. Well, all of a sudden Frontier changed that, and I had to change my outgoing, which is the SMTP, to frontiernet.net. Did you change that?
I don't know if I did.
You want to check that, because that's when you'll start getting the, nothing going out in the red boxes.
Okay.
There you go.
Very good. Thank you, guys.
Check it out, Charlie.
Will do.
Which, theoretically, you should have received an email from Frontier saying our services numbers are changing.
Who knows?
And
it probably got...
You get them and miss them. Sometimes your filter catches
them.
Yeah,
got blocked to spam, yeah.
Exactly. You never know. Our next caller, Dave from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
A little bit of a trivia. South Africa, the small floppy is called a stiffy. A lot more descriptive.
Yeah. But technically, they're a micro flexi disc. When Sony invented the format, it was micro flexi because we had the 8-inch floppies, the 5 1/4 were mini floppy, and the 3 1/2 were micro, but they had the hard case around them, so they called them flexi, not floppy.
Flexi, except in South Africa, where they're stiffy.
Yeah.
Like, I like that.
A good one.
Yeah, you can go to England and you can go to England, ask for a rubber, and not get slapped.
Right.
Go around there.
What can we do for you, Dave? Don't even go there.
That's it. That's a little bit of trivia.
Thank you.
Have a good one. I can't remember that one. Go ahead.
No, that was
that's
it.
Thank you so much, Dave. But how lovely just to call to tell us something. Very nice. I love the people who call us to tell us something.
You mentioned being
something polite.
Working in a work environment.
Yeah.
And somebody needs, anybody got an extra stiffy?
Oh, but only in Africa.
In Africa. Our next caller is Mark from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Mark.
Yeah, I got your stiffy right here.
Thank you very much. That was coming.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, happy birthday to you.
Hey.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear guys. Happy birthday to you.
Hey.
And someone had to do that.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Look, at a question for Steve. On OS X machine running Safari, I just got done cleaning out my entire cookie file,
mm-hmm.
which was a real pain in the neck. Is there some place where I can grab that file, store it, so that next time I just throw it away and put this one back in?
I think so, although Safari has a reset button that resets all those cookies and cache and temp files and deletes them all automatically with one menu command.
Yeah, but that'll delete all those usernames that are in there and all the rest of the stuff.
Oh,
right, he's talking about getting rid of the lousy ones. He wants to
keep
the good ones,
right.
Save them somewhere, and put them back.
Right.
Yeah, it's probably a file called cookie somewhere. In one of the preferences.
There you are,
drivers.
The definitive answer from the experts
well,
at Soundbite.
Let me do a search here. I've never searched for them. Search for cookie. Cookie.hlb. SHLB. Do you know what that extension is there, Nick?
SHLB?
Yeah. Oh, that's my AOL cookie list. User library cookies. There you go.
Okay, so it's under the user library.
Right, every
well, it would be.
Right,
okay,
every
well,
user has their own cookies.
I got to ask this then, under OS X, which user library?
Every user library. Every user has their own cookies.
Okay, but there's several libraries, right?
What should be name, your name.
Yeah, it's hard drive user's username.
Okay, I can find it from there.
When
okay,
he said user, he meant the user slash library
right.
slash
right.
cookie.
Right,
yeah.
got it.
Tilde slash.
Okay, look at yeah. I had to use another name because this is actually Argyle. Last time I called,
I knew that was you.
Yeah.
Mr. Linton wouldn't let me on.
Unbelievable. Well, he's going on vacation. He needs it. He's a little tense right now.
Look at happy birthday, guys, and talk to you later.
Thanks a lot.
Right, bye-bye.
So we never know about pen names.
Well, it's okay. Now I've recognized his voice. So
that's right. Now you'll get it.
You better hope I stay on vacation, Argyle. Mr. Linton.
We're very pleased that Mr. Linton is screening the calls for us because yes. he keeps a certain number of the wackadoos off our backs, which
yes, apparently not all of them.
Not all of them, but he does a heck of a job. You're better than my spam filter, I'll say that for
yes.
you.
I just looked at this cookie file. It's an XML text file. Lists all your cookies.
Who's that?
Define dictionary and define dictionary.
Slowly I turn. Step by step, we go to Marty in Niagara Falls, New York. Welcome, Marty. What's your question?
Good morning. I heard you guys when you started out. Talking about cars with starter buttons on the floor and
sure.
all that.
Yep.
I was working on one in the garage when the
no
started.
Kidding.
Get
out. What was that?
What year?
1921 Dodge Brothers.
Oh.
Do you remember the Nash Ramblers that had the shifting on the right on the dash
uh-huh.
the buttons?
The hydromatic drive on the
yep.
old.
Yeah.
Star Trek Voyager this week. They found a 1936 Ford pickup truck floating in the Delta quadrant.
Cool. A 1921 Ford, you said?
1936
no,
Ford
no,
pickup.
No, not you.
Oh.
Him.
Yeah.
Mine is a 1921 Dodge Brothers.
Oh, Dodge Ooh. Brothers.
I missed my 57 Ford. Three on the column and manual choke.
All that old stuff.
Yes.
Miss all the old stuff.
I remember I got pulled over by the cops because I had what they call moon eyes on the front light.
Oh, yeah. Where they kind of half closed
yeah.
like eyelids.
Yeah, and they... You're not supposed to have those on there. Well, he never gave me a ticket.
He was looking at the car too much.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A cool car.
Yeah.
Cool car.
Well, how
well anyway,
cool
I have a computer that's almost as old as the car.
Yeah.
But what I have is a problem. I had a bunch of pictures, different odds and ends that I had over the time, and my wife has a Bernina sewing machine that uses the computer imaging.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And when we installed the Bernina software, it changed all of the file extensions for all of my pictures.
Yep.
Now I can't open them.
What you're going to have to do is, what version of Windows you running?
It's a 98 second edition.
All right, yeah. If you go into the Windows Explorer, and it's under...
we found an easier way.
Oh.
Find one of the pictures you want to open.
Yep.
Okay.
Left-click once on it. Hold
to select it.
To select it. Hold the shift key down and right-click on it, and there will be an open with command.
And the drop-down menu.
And the drop-down menu that pops up. You can then pick which program you want to open that picture with.
And there's a little button down there.
There's
you
a little
check.
Button that says always open with.
That type of file.
So you can change all your TIFFs back to whatever
you're
program
changing
you want.
The file association.
Right. There's a file association table you can get into, but this way is a little easier.
Yeah, that is.
Now, what that means is the Bernina software won't open them automatically anymore.
Right. If you double-click the file.
But it would only change the ones that you change manually.
Right. So if for example, all your Bernina files are TIFFs and you want to leave them that way, you don't change that one, but you change the JPEGs and the GIFs.
Or you open the Bernina program first and then say open the file. Just don't double-click it on the desktop.
Right.
Because basically every graphic program you install assumes it's the only one and changes all of your graphic files to it.
Right.
So the other way to fix this is to reinstall your preferred graphic viewer and it will change everything back to it.
Right.
Okay, so you said left-click and hit the shift key.
Hold the shift key down and right-click.
Right-click.
And you'll get an open with command.
You get a drop-down, you get that drop-down menu and on it will be an open with command. Okie doke.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Marty, and good luck. Back to Rochester, New York to talk to Steve. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hi, I have, among other things, an old iMac that's running V8.6, and we're trying to get rid of this Internet Explorer.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just... We're having some trouble getting some Netscape software to run right, so I deleted all the old Netscape stuff, and I figured I'd download new. Well, I can't really find anything for 8.6.
Yeah, Netscape, I was just doing this the other day for an OS 9 machine. Netscape makes it a little hard to find the older browsers.
Then I looked
it's
at Mozilla,
their legacy
too.
List.
Looked up under Mozilla, nothing there listed. Nothing listed under version tracker. So who's the keeper of this old software?
Netscape has it. It just takes a while to find their legacy list, and I'll find it and put it on our Soundbites link list.
Yeah, on the Soundbites website at soundbites.org, that's bytes with a Y.
Okay.
On the main page, about halfway down, you'll see a link that says, I heard about a program on your show, ...
Okay.
If you click on that, it brings you to a list. One side is an alphabetical list, the other side is a chronological list, so today's show will be on top of the left-hand column, I believe, and as soon as Steve finds that site, he'll put it there, so give him about 10, 15 minutes, and then go check it out.
Oh, great, then I'll get that all fixed up.
That's the way it works.
Give it away and get myself another EMAC.
All right.
There you go.
With Panther on it. Okay.
Can't wait, huh?
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. We're going to take a quick break to give Steve a chance to actually find that software. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show and longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Well, I'm Spray,
and I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites, hurtling headlong into our 16th year of broadcasting.
The longest running.
Exactly right. That's us. And we want to go to Doug. You think after 15 years, I'd get this right. We want to go to Doug in Pittsburgh, New York. Welcome, Doug. Don't try this at home. You might be a professional.
Hi, how are you?
Peachy, how are you?
Oh, I'm talking to you guys.
Yeah, well, that's bad. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I recently signed up for DSL service with Frontier.
Uh-huh.
Okay, got it working. Then put a wireless network in my house, got that working. Then happened to notice that on the wireless installation disk there was Norton Internet Security. Made the mistake of trying to put that on my computer.
Ouch.
Okay, and now
killed everything, didn't it?
Well, now I can't get to the internet at all. Whether I hook up directly to the DSL modem or whatever, I can't get there.
Have you gone to the add remove program?
I've tried to remove it. And I still wasn't able to do it. And so I reinstalled it and set the security, turned it off. That didn't work. Set the security level. That didn't work. The low. And I'm just wondering, if you have any suggestions or is it time for professional
help? It usually means you've got the firewall set too high and it's blocking your desired traffic.
Yeah, I went and specifically set the firewall to low.
Try turning it off. And see what happens.
I tried turning it off as well.
Yeah, no, you might have to, and uninstall won't do it. That's a matter of going into the registry.
Okay. Magic should
have a manual uninstall instruction page, too.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Hold on. What operating system are you running?
I'm Windows 98 Second Edition.
Oh, okay.
And I actually was looking at possibly going up to XP and wondered, is that going to solve my problem at all or not?
Well, yes, it will, and if you wipe out your hard drive and install XP, Norton Internet Security will be gone.
Oh, I know, but I was looking and setting up an addition. Because you know how it works. XP lets you set up that and keep another hard drive, another operating system.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one, how big of a processor do you have?
I have a relatively slow processor, but I have 250 meg of memory.
That's not much anymore.
I understand that. I would probably look to upgrade candidly. The reason I only have 256 is because I didn't have XP.
Yeah.
And it doesn't use more than 256.
Right. And 10-to-1 add that processor, you know, even though you up the memory, you're still just moving what we call the bottleneck now to the processor.
Okay.
And, you know, you might
Norton Internet Security, I mean, it runs so slow compared. I mean, when I put that on, that just blocks everything down.
You know what you want to do? Just build a new box. You know, that's the easiest way to get rid of it. Go up to a Pentium 4 or an AMD 2800 Plus, 128 meg video card, you know, CD burner in it, say at least 512K of memory, and you can do it for less than $1,000.
Okay.
That's with keyboard, mouse, speakers, Windows XP Home, 80 gig hard drive.
Okay.
No, easy.
Okay.
So you've gone into it and turned off the personal firewall, and you still couldn't get there.
That's correct.
I've seen this problem with I have been not very impressed with the Norton 2004 products right now. One, they're antivirus quite often. Once you install it, you have to go through three or four times to constantly update before it'll finally turn on some of the services.
Okay.
And then some of the others, they mess up big time.
Yeah, so you know, obviously, I'm not problem right now.
We can get that off, though, if, you know, you really want to get it off.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, there is a program called, there is a removal thing on their website. Again, at the next break, Steve will put up a link
to
it.
Yeah, it's
Okay, that'll be great.
Well, it's a program called NAV2003.exe.
Okay.
But
they have a removal utility called rnisupg.exe.
Oh, they've updated because the RAID 2003. Well, yeah, he's running 2004. Duh.
Yeah. But we'll get that up.
That would be great.
Thanks.
Thanks very much. Appreciate your help, guys.
Sure. Our next caller, Al from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Al. What's your question?
Yes. Recently switched over to Netscape 7.1, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go to some sites, it's encouraging me to install the latest Sun Java virtual machine.
Right.
And is there a problem with that?
No.
Mm-mm.
Okay, just do it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
It's the Microsoft virtual machine there's a problem with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he wants to control everything.
Yeah, the Sun VM, the Java virtual machine, is the gold standard. That's the one you want.
Okay, super.
That's
happy birthday,
like man.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that, Al. Thank you.
You know, that's still where Gates wants to be.
He'd like to be,
but he ain't going to ever get there.
It ain't happening. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Another 16. We'll see what that brings us.
Yeah. Boy, imagine the changes, what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
And what's coming up on the horizon that I've seen?
The early shows were all about, you know, I can't install WordPerfect.
Yep.
I'm having trouble with Lotus 1-2-3.
Yep.
And I remember, you know, WordStar. I remember off the top of my head, you know, /PP to print, you know, whatever all those things are. You can't do that anymore.
Remember? I remember one vivid caller telling them how to use Edlin.
Yep.
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 I mean, you tell folks Edlin now, most folks go, huh?
Right.
I mean, well, that was back to, you know, you didn't have those GUI screen to sit there. You had to know the commands to type it, to list it, to pull up that particular line code, and then make the changes, and then to save it. I mean, it was fun.
Even back then, we were joking that most of the PC calls were, you know, I just bought a new CD reader. You know, I got the brand new 4X CD reader.
2X, yeah.
And I can't get it to install.
Or getting a mouse to work.
I can't get my mouse to work. I can't get Microsoft Word to install properly. And the Mac questions were, how do I do a mail merge? You know,
dare I
do? How do I do a bullet list? They're beyond installing it and trying to use it.
Right. Yeah. Now we're all back to installing again. Our next caller is Jim from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Good afternoon, guys. Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much.
I'm having a problem. My WordPerfect is working all right. My Lotus Notes are working all right. I'm having a problem with my printer. I have a Canon T530 multipath. If it weren't for the fax function, I'd just upgrade it. But I'm having a problem where my computer loses it.
Is it one of these all-in-ones?
Yeah.
And WordPerfect 11?
Yeah.
Is it USB?
No, it isn't.
It's parallel.
No, what it is, I've seen this. I've got a client right now. They've got one of these HP all-in-ones, and she's using WordPerfect 11, and there's a known issue right now with WordPerfect 11 and these multi-pass machines. Because that's how I found it.
But are you using WordPerfect?
No, I was just joking about it.
Oh, okay.
No, this is basically anything. Try to printing anything, whether it's an Outlook message or a picture or anything. It just completely loses. The print job fails.
We see that frequently with USB printers where they fall off the bus and you have to unplug and replug them.
Yep, I have to reboot it every time and then print within the first 5 minutes of rebooting to actually be able to print anything.
A couple of things. The multipass C530. When you plugged this in, what kind of printer cable did you use? Did you use just a stand? What?
The two-way. It has to have.
Yes, it does have to have two-way.
Yep. I've got the proper cable for it.
All right. And is it
worked properly for probably 3 years before this problem comes along.
All right. Then in that case, you want to look. What changed?
Yeah, BIOS update changed it from EPP to ECC.
Exactly what I'm thinking.
Okay. I don't believe I have nothing BIOS update that I can attribute to this problem. Sorry, around the time this problem started. I'm not sure exactly anything that would have changed.
You might want to go into the BIOS and just double check.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'd start because what
here.
It sounds like is
some other program could have changed it.
It's very possible.
Yeah.
Okay, what would I look for in the BIOS to find out?
In the BIOS, you've got to look under, usually in the BIOS, you'll see peripherals. And then under peripherals, you'll see the settings for the printer. And you usually say whether it's using, say, a particular LPT port, 378H, and whether it's doing EPP plus EPC, bidirectional.
Or standard.
Yeah.
Standard is the lowest common denominator that worked with really old printers, but not the new bidirectional stuff.
Okay, so what should the setting be if I go in there and find where it's at?
Whatever the printer requires. So you're going to have to cross-reference that against the printer manual.
Yeah, if it wants EPP or just EPC.
Okay, all right.
Those are two different protocols.
It also wouldn't hurt to check with Canon to see if they have any upgrades for the printer itself, maybe a firmware upgrade to stabilize the interface.
Good point.
Okay, that'd be great. Thank you very much again. Happy anniversary.
Thank you so much. Well, it looks like we're about done for another week. I want to apologize to everybody to whose calls we did not get. I want to thank everybody who called in. And that's what it's all about. We're having a lot of fun here, and God bless the folks at WHAM to let us do that. But it's you people who make the show. It's you folks who call in. It's you folks who've kept us alive for 15 years, and I hope you're here for the next 15. We're going to take a week off now, and we'll be back next Saturday at 12:20 p.m. with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton.
He's bailing on it.
He's bailing. You going to be on vacation next week, too? You stink. Somebody else will be in here doing, a magnificent job. And me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest and longest-running computer show in the known universe, on the greatest radio station in the known universe, we're Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
If you really love your home, where do you go?